Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me," and after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Our epistle reading comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Epistle is just a way of talking about the letters that are in the New Testament of the Bible. It says there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Friends, no matter where we are not alone. We are home. Merriam-Webster defines exile as the state or period of forced or voluntary absence from one's country or home. 1 Peter is one of the two letters attributed to the Apostle Peter while its recipients reside in exile. Biblical scholars continue to debate what form of exile the letter's audience is experiencing. It could be outright state persecution, state-sanctioned persecution, or these Christians could be experiencing the rejection from their communities or even from their families because of their faith. My belief is that there is a bit of both going on. Christians were, in fact, exiled from Israel from 60 to 64 AD, just a few years prior to Peter's execution by Nero and the eventual destruction of the temple in 70 AD. But it also makes sense that whether it be members of their own family and community in their homeland or the community in which they were exiled, Christians were experiencing alienation and persecution. Regardless of the form of exile, in 1 Peter, the church is suffering. Our focus scripture comes from the beginning of Peter's letter where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," which is pretty standard for letters written during that time period in that culture. And then Peter continues, "By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, we hear a lot about new birth in Christianity, often expressed as being born again. This idea of experiencing new birth or being born again is sometimes equated to a strong emotional experience or a spiritual high. James Howe writes that being physically born is a moment of great transition for us, from dark and warm and aquatic to bright and cold and breathing required. It's not like we can hold our breath the entire time that we're alive. Interestingly, the Hebrew word for womb, W-O-M-B, womb, depending on the context, can also mean mercy or compassion. Just as our physical birth is a great transition, a person who comes to accept that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the grave, even though they did not see it happen with their own eyes, experiences a powerful transition. It is more than a change of perspective or priorities. It is a transformation of the heart. It's the realization at our core, from the depths of our souls, that we are part of something that is bigger than ourselves. We are not alone. Wherever we are home. That life isn't about the achievement of wealth or prestige or even happiness and comfort or good health. It's about living in gratitude to a God who experiences his own physical birth at Christmas, to live a life without blemish and to sacrifice himself on the cross and rise from the dead at Easter, so that what separates us from fully loving God might be overcome, and we might experience the fullness of a relationship with God. The depth of God's love for us in Jesus inspires a love for God and other people that changes the way that we view and interact with the world. No matter where we are, we feel as if we are resident aliens, as if we don't quite fit in this world, and this world is not our home. And oddly, at the same time, it is the beginning of a healthy relationship with the family of God and an acceptance of a divine inheritance, which is that life isn't merely from first breath to last, from physical birth to death. It is from new birth into eternity, experienced in the here and now and to come. That is where our home is. We are not alone. We are home. Or as the profession of faith that we've been sharing together these past few weeks, and which we will share in just a few moments, states, we are not alone. We live in God's world. And so that change that occurs at our core makes us at the same time immediately, but also gradually, more and more a new person. A person who lives life looking for how we can love God and other people more than ourselves. Life becomes about how we can lift up those who have been brought low and bring healing. And not just life, but explain why we are lifting, explain why we are lifting a person up. Life becomes focused on accepting grace and giving grace, rather than trying to be right all the time. And when we do that, there's this part of us that thinks, okay, life should be easier now. But it's actually quite the opposite. This is I know this is like the worst marketing ever, but to become Christian, in fact, means that life in many ways becomes more difficult. It's the sacrificing of time and finances that could be used on the things we want instead to bring glory to God and to help others. That's what we use them for. Because people don't understand why we are the way that we are, our strength begins to look like weakness when it really isn't. Our perceived flaws are actually a vision of perfect love, and people lash out at us. People will lash out at us simply for calling ourselves Christian. In other words, our faith in Jesus produces suffering. Perhaps this is why so many are slow to sign up to join the club. This suffering should draw us closer to God, become more reliant on God, produce a greater intimacy in our relationship with God. But at times, our faith can wane. Peter tells his readers, salvation through Jesus is producing suffering in your life. But no matter what is happening to you, there is hope. Jennifer T. Holland writes, hope provides us with sight beyond what we can see. We are not alone. No matter where we are home. Now, you might be thinking to yourself right now, or maybe aloud to the person sitting next to you, you're right, Melody, no matter where I am, I'm home. I can't get away from home. I'm stuck at home, and I'm pretty lonely. I long to give someone outside of my home a hug, to go out and to feel free and to play. Geez, I'd settle for going to work or to school. I'm home all the time. Get me out of here. Stay-at-home orders can feel like their own version of exile. Only instead of leaving home or country voluntarily, we're stuck in it and can't go anywhere. Regardless, we're very intentionally isolated. I mean, we can pick up the device as you're doing right now and be in contact with the outside world, but we're cut off from the world and what so often brings us comfort in so many ways. What I want to remind us, each of us today, and as we begin our new sermon series, Living in Exile, is the simple fact that what Jesus did on that cross, what we celebrate during Easter, and by the way, we're still celebrating Easter right now. Easter's a season, not just a day. But, you know, the stone rolled away, the tomb found empty, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and then carrying over into his resurrection experience, resurrection appearances means that we are not alone. We are never alone. And embracing the love of God expressed to us through Jesus means wherever we are home. And so even though we feel like we're alien in our culture at times, we are home. Even though we experience suffering, we are home. We have hope. I pray that brings each of us comfort during this time as we realize that we are never truly in exile. Amen.